It's a great day, isn't it? Great service, great privilege to be part of it, to be here today. And I was just thinking back as I was pondering what to preach on today. I've been here about 16 years or so now, 15 years employed here. And we used to face that way, and the front row was a row of boys, young boys, between the ages of about 4 to, I don't know, 8 or 9, something like that. Hundreds of them, it seemed to me. And one of them, Dom, was just a bit younger than the others, and he used to struggle to keep up with them all, it seemed to me. And Lottie, of course, you'd just be a toddler then. Where are you? There. Just a toddler then. And over the years, you'll have sat in the splash zone around that pool, and you'll have heard people's testimonies, and you'll have watched others being baptised. And now here you are. Lottie, you've grown into a beautiful young woman. Dom? You've grown, and you've come to faith, and you've been obedient to the Lord's command on your life to be baptised, and it is a great privilege. I'm sure those of us who belong to this church are thrilled today. Did hear about one child who saw a baptism in his church, full immersion, believer's baptism like this, and decided to go home and practice on his cats. He had 3 cats, 2 kittens, and a big Tom cat. So he filled the bath. Well, the kittens were easy. He sort of picked them up and dumped them under and said, "I baptise you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And then they were fine. But the big Tom had another idea, really. And he resisted and he wriggled and he scratched and he squirmed and he escaped from this young lad. Undeterred, he thought, "I'll try again." So he snuck up on the cat while it wasn't looking, grabbed it, went to put it in the water, but it squirmed again, and he only managed to sort of sprinkle the top of its head with just a few drops of water before it scratched him and escaped. And the little boy said, "Fine, be an Anglican then." Give you a moment to catch up. Apologies to any Anglicans here this morning. Baptism's not new, is it? Not a new thing. Thousands of years have passed and people have been baptised. Even Jesus himself. And you're following his example. And our friend here, I don't know your name, but you read some words from Mark's Gospel, which, funnily enough, are the same words we're going to look at this morning. Are we up, Elizabeth? Mark's probably the earliest Gospel. People say it was Peter who sort of spoke these things to Mark, and Mark recorded them. And it's a page-turner. Over 40 times Mark says, at once, immediately, and goes on to talk about what Jesus did or what the disciples were doing. There are no Christmas stories in Mark's Gospel. He starts with Jesus' ministry. And right at the start here, his baptism. John the Baptist is on the scene. Mark shows how he fits into the great scheme of things. Some 600 years earlier, Isaiah proclaims or predicts a forerunner to Jesus Christ, to the Messiah. And so that's John the Baptist. And as we read then, John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than me, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so John came. And in just a few verses, Mark describes this one foretold by the prophet. He lived like a prophet. He dressed like a prophet. He spoke like a prophet. He wore camel hair clothes. He ate locusts and honey sandwiches. Weird, right? And yet, we read the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. And what brought the crowds flocking to him was his message. He was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And from the city and from the countryside, that they flocked and they confessed their sins and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Well, that's remarkable enough. Baptism was a thing in the Jewish faith. For Gentile converts, after confessing their newfound faith in Judaism, they were washed to cleanse their Gentileness away. But people who were already Jews didn't need to be baptized. They already belonged. Yet here they were, in their hundreds, flocking to be baptized in the Jordan. Why? Because his message resonated with them. And it still does today. The baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So much changes, doesn't it? Dom and Lottie have grown up. Grandma Joyce here, 90 odd years old, along with one or two other people here as well today. There she is, still awake. Praise the Lord. In your time, Joyce, you'll have seen people owning cars and telephones and TV, a man on the moon. Yeah, change has been phenomenal, hasn't it, in society over these 90 years. But you know, one thing doesn't change, and that's human nature. Our ability to mess things up in our own lives, actually in other people's lives, in our governments throughout the world. We see it every day, we hear it every day on our news. The heart of the human problem, somebody has said, is the problem of the human heart. We're sinners. And I guess we grow up not realizing it, but once we're told, we see how true it is. And we see how we need help. And John the Baptist preaching and his baptism that he offered was right on the mark for a needy people in his day, and actually in our day too. So they came, confessing their sins, and were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Itself significant. The point of entry, all those thousands of years ago, of the people of God into the promised land. And here in that same water now, people were being baptized on confession of their sins. Baptism was a new start. And yet John was clear in these verses. This is only a preparation, he says. After me comes one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We'll come back to verse 7 at the end. Verse 8, as significant as John's baptism was, it was only half a job. People were confessing their sins and being washed on the outside. But the one who was to come would do a thorough job. He'd wash on the inside. And what can do that? Well, it's only the power of God, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, to enter Jesus. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now it might seem a bit over the top comparing Dom and Lottie to Jesus. But what is true of him at his baptism is also true of you guys, and actually all of us who choose to go through these waters. I just picked out four things very quickly. It's, for Jesus, it's a moment of decision. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth. Not another time. This was the time. This was his time. This was the time to leave behind some 30 years of his life in Nazareth, the son of a carpenter. This was the time to begin his ministry. This was the time for him to grow into the call upon his life, to grow into God's purpose for him and God's plan for his life. And from here, he'd spend 40 days in the wilderness, being tested and tempted. And then he hit the ground running, preaching the kingdom of God, calling his first disciples, performing his first miracles, casting out evil spirits. And for you guys too, equally, this is a moment of decision. This is the dawn of a new part of your life. Dominic, next week you go to Australia, and from there on to Asia. Great opportunity, isn't it, to love and serve the Lord and the people of this world, the people he sends you to. You know, there couldn't be a better way, could there, to kick off your ministry, if you like, following this baptism this morning. Lottie, still at school, but actually just the same emphasis on you. You know, school is a mission field, and you go as a missionary, and your life and your words are your witness, as we've heard this morning, your light, which you don't hide under a bowl. And just as you've announced to your friends and the church your faith today, it is only the beginning. This is lifelong. Every moment of every day now matter for the Lord. Your ministry, wherever and whatever, for him, has already begun, but it's confirmed today. It's a moment of decision. And that might all sound a bit daunting. So, for Jesus, it was also a moment of approval, just doing this in a slightly different order than Mark wrote it. Get him. Moment of approval, verse 11. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." When you came out of the water before both of you, there was lots of applause and a loud cheer from us. This is how much we approve of what you've done today. But I tell you, if heaven's got a roof, it will have been raised this morning. If heaven's got rafters, they will have been lifted this morning. Angels will be dancing and singing and playing their harps and skipping on the clouds this morning. And the voice of God will be saying the same thing that he said to Jesus. Hear it again. "You are my child, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." We had, Jan and I had a visit yesterday from her cousin. We haven't seen her for absolutely ages. And over the years we've not seen him. He'd been ill, had a heart problem, had a heart transplant, in fact. Before he had the transplant, his circulation stopped, had a leg taken off, and also a foot, the other foot, obviously, taken off. And he was showing us his new stump yesterday, and the new stump fitted. And the cup that goes onto his stump. It's made out of plastic and it sort of suctions on. Amazing thing. But this plastic bit, you can have your own designs put on it. And so he'd had his family crest put on this stump. So every time he pulled his trousers on and his socks on, he'd look at his family motto and his family crest. I won't tell you what it was, but that's what he was doing. He could do is do that. Tattoos are all the rage. Now, I'm not suggesting for 1 minute, Steve and Carol, that they get tattoos, okay? Not for 1 minute. But if you're going to get something tattooed, get this. "You are my child. I am your child. You love me. You are well pleased with me." However you can put this in front of you, screensaver, on your computer, your motto, whatever, your fridge magnets that you can spell it out somewhere, do this, because these words will inspire you when you're flat, they'll comfort you when you're down, they'll challenge you when the doubts arise. This truth will hold you through your life. You are his child. It's amazing. The creator of the universe, you can call Dad. It's amazing. Just amazing. You're a child whom he loves. Never going to let you go. Never let you down. What have you just sung over and over again? Something like that, wasn't it? Yeah, over and over again. You sing it over and over again because we need to drill it into our hearts. Have I got the right words? Was it something like that? Yeah, okay. And he's so pleased with you. You know, the Old Testament in Zechariah, I think it is, talks about him singing over you. We think of us singing to him. He sings over you. He has a plan and purpose for your life. He has a future and a hope for your life. He has a white robe and a crown of righteousness in a place prepared for you for when this life is over. Do you get this? You belong to him. This, for Jesus and for you, was a moment of approval. And it's a moment of equipping. And here's the difference between John's baptism and the one that you've been through this morning, done in the name of Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit. We believe the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, God himself by his Spirit, came to live within you guys the moment you opened up your heart to him. The moment you were born again. The moment you became a Christian. And what we've done this morning is simply showing on the outside what's already happened on the inside to you. The baptistry is a bath, you know, it shows that you've been washed and cleansed from your sin. The baptistry is a grave, it shows that you've died to your old way of life and been buried there, but been raised again to new life in Christ. And our prayers for you today, and it was there for both of you, I think, is that the Holy Spirit, just as with Jesus, would descend upon you both and fill you anew. The fruit of the Spirit to shape your character, the gifts of the Spirit to shape your ministry and your service, and the power of the Spirit to strengthen you in that service. God isn't just pleased for you and cheering from the sidelines. God is with you and in you, that you might live lives to his glory. And the fourth thing is that it's a moment of identification. For you, and this isn't really from the verses, to be honest, but I'm chucking it in for good value. There you go. Four for the price of three. For you, you're identifying yourself as believers. You're identifying yourself as the people of God, as part of the church, and together with all the others who have been baptized, all the others who have proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord, as you both did in this pool. And this identifies you with people down through the ages, 2,000 years or more of Christian ministry, and across the world today, billions of people are your brothers and sisters today who all declare Jesus Christ is Lord. It's a moment of identification. But for Jesus, it had a deeper meaning. He's come to John the Baptist to be baptized. John's offering a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus is the sinless Son of God, tempted in every way as we are, and yet without sin. He didn't need John's baptism. In fact, in Matthew's Gospel, the same story, John the Baptist says to him, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me." And Jesus said, "Let it be so now, to fulfill all righteousness." It's an enigmatic response. But Jesus, his ministry is about to begin. The ultimate purpose for his life, for him coming to the world in the first place, to offer his life as a sacrifice on our behalf, as one of us, for all of us. And in his baptism, he was identifying with us, therefore. The eternal Son of God became flesh, became a human being, so as to represent us on the cross, to take the blame for our sins, to bear the punishment we deserve, to die our death that we might be forgiven. You see, it was a moment of identification with the human race so that he could bring about the salvation of the world. Hallelujah. What a saviour. Hallelujah, what an example for us to follow. And praise the Lord, you both have followed him today. This pool has seen many people in it over the years. I trust it won't be the last. Mentioned earlier how times have changed, and we just finish with this. I read this week of a missionary to Africa way back 100 and more years ago. And he would visit different villages. He'd journey to different villages every day. And on one of these journeys one day, he saw a local man being attacked by a lion. And he shot the lion and helped to rescue the man. He brought him back to the mission hospital, looked after him for a few weeks until he was well enough to go home, and then bade him goodbye as he went back to the village. Some weeks later, he's relaxing in his village on the veranda outside the hospital, when there's an almighty commotion. The cackling of hens, the quacking of ducks, the bleating of sheep and goats, and the mooing of cows, that was it, wasn't it? And lots of voices, adults, children, a real melee of noise. And he got up to see what was happening. And there, coming into his village, was the man he'd helped those weeks ago, leading a procession into the village of ducks and geese and goats and cows and people. And on seeing the missionary, the man came to him and fell at his feet. And he said, "Sir, according to the custom of our tribe, anyone whose life has been saved no longer belongs to himself, but to his rescuer. All that you see is yours, therefore. My animals are yours. My family is yours. I am yours." Times change, but some things don't. One thing remains. Christ on the cross has saved us. He's rescued us from the jaws of hell, and we owe him our lives to give him everything we have that we might serve him. The old hymn says, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Which takes us back to that verse that John the Baptist spoke about Jesus. "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie." Do you know whose job it was to untie the sandals of people? It was the slave or the servant. John the Baptist knew the score. In relation to Jesus, God's Son, our Saviour, John knew that he was even lower than a slave, not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of Jesus' sandals. And here we are, folks, to that same Saviour. He calls us to be his servants, his slaves, if you like, to give our lives over to him, to the greatest master there will ever be. It's John the Baptist. That's you guys. That's all of us. Let's pray. We've seen and heard how Jesus Christ touches the hearts and lives of people, whether 2,000 years ago with John the Baptist or today with Dom and Lottie. And it may be that you here this morning feel your heart stirred, feel that finger of God upon you, just challenging you as to where you are with the Lord. How much of your life belongs to him? And he asks the question, therefore, "Who do you think I am? And what will you do for me?" Pray, Lord, that you would continue to do your work in our hearts, whether perhaps we don't know you yet, we've not given our hearts to you, we've not been baptized. Pray, Lord, that you would speak into our situation, Lord, and keep your finger upon us, that we might respond as we ought. And for all of us, long in the tooth, Lord, as Christians, many of us, Lord, we pray that you would continue to challenge and inspire us, Lord, to keep serving you. Hold us fast. For Dom and Lottie particularly, Lord, we do pray your Holy Spirit to fall upon them, Lord, for heaven to be torn open as you descend upon them like a dove. Fill them, Lord, again with your Spirit. Remind them that they are your children. Remind them that you do love them. Remind them how pleased you are with them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we're going to sing again. We've got a couple of songs before we finish our service together. This next song speaks of Jesus being a powerful name. That's a trend in the service, you may have noticed. So can I just invite you to stand? There is power in the name of Jesus.